freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
And Brooke Wire, you are it. And Brooke, you are it.
Styled by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Let the fire!
On 509 says, I feel so bad for Salk's family. He's going to be insufferable during the rehab process for the upcoming ACL tear. You know, jeez. All right, we'll see. I appreciate being doubted. I like the doubt.
You
bring
do.
It on. I thrive on the doubt.
Oh, it puts that bigger chip. It puts that boulder on your shoulder.
I thrive on the doubt. We'll Moore and I will be racing on Thursday for charity and a 200-meter race. We'll let you know how it goes. Brock, who is today? We're coming down the final stretch. Just three to go. Give me today's draft profile.
The Seattle Seahawks select.
This is Brock Heward's draft profile.
You want traits? Check. You want a vocal leader? Check.
At the end of the day, you have to say, okay, what's best for the organization?
Can you make people around you better? And can you bring people together?
Every day at 9 a.m. leading up to the draft.
Defensive end Jared Verse, Florida State University. That's who they pick. That's who Salk secretly wants them to pick anyway. Does he check the boxes? Does he have the traits? Does he make people around him better? Every guy this week is going to check all of those little sound clips that you heard before. I'll give you a little breakdown on Jared Verse. 6'4", 254, 33.5-inch arms. So pretty prototypical kind of size. When Joel Klatt, an hour and a half ago, was on talking about building the run wall. We will hear about the run wall. We will, in time, with Mike McDonald as he builds this defense. You want to build a very, very strong edge of that wall, Salk, you draft Jared Verse. As I mentioned to you, 6'4", 254. You bench press 225 31 times. That's a powerful, powerful man. Usually when you see somebody bench press of that nature, they're a little stiff. And he's got a tiny bit of stiffness. But you know what they don't normally do? Run 4.5 in the 40. They don't normally run 4.5 and 40, jump 35, 10'7" broad jump, all of that twitch, all of that explosiveness that you want with all of that power, right? You'll hear these scouts all week long, and certainly on draft day, talk about speed to power, speed to power. Well, he's got speed, and dude has power. He's been unbelievably productive. You know what he fights? He fights that, man, it's really hard to change a narrative. In fact, you know, my Macy, bless her heart, and I'll slip a Macy into my draft profile. When my Macy went to Oklahoma State, man, I love sitting in that room, the final meeting as she was offered and accepted, and the coach said, you know what I like about you? I like that you went to a mid-major, because so did I. I like that you have that in your story, because it does put that Mike Salkian chip on your shoulder. Jared Verse started his career at Albany. He was a Great Dane at Albany in the Colonial Athletic Association. In fact, redshirted. You redshirt at Albany and you're going to be a top 15 pick? Get out of here. How many of those in the history of the league have ever happened? So running away, Salk, from some of that early narrative, been a big part of his career. At the COVID year, blew up his second year, so good that he transfers to Florida State. And, you know, you ask point blank, Joel Klatt. Hey, man, Latu, Jared Verse, they're both there at 16. And he said Verse. And he said Verse because of Latu's injury history more than anything else. But look at the production. Two-time All-American, two-time All-Conference. This is not a one-hit wonder. This was a star at Albany. He was a star at Florida State. 48 tackles, 17 tackles for loss, 9 sacks. 42 tackles, 13 tackles for loss, 9 sacks. The dude gets home. The dude is powerful. The guy, and you read an anecdote about him last week, he reached out to Florida State, and those players, before he ever transferred there, said, listen, you're not getting a diva. I'm going to be a guy. I'm going to be a team guy. And was the heart and soul of a team that went, what, undefeated and got screwed out of a playoff opportunity. Jared Verse on the board at 16. It is going to be a very, very tempting pick for Seattle.
All right, good stuff. Jared Verse, yes, I did write about him last week, Brock, at seattlesports.com, and just said, look, I know what they should do. They should draft Fautano. They should draft potentially a quarterback if the right one's available. They should draft Byron Murphy. But if they do draft Jared Verse, I am going to be psyched, man.
I'll give you a little comp.
I got two things for you. Okay, yeah, okay. I want a comp. That's today's profile. Give me a comp.
Somebody that Justin Barnes has grown to love, Trey Hendrickson. Played at Florida Atlantic. Yeah, played at Florida Atlantic. When he came out of school, 6'4", 266, so a bigger guy, strong and powerful, ran 4.65. You know what he had last year? 17.5 sacks. 17.5 sacks. Dude's been unbelievably productive. Is he like, you know, TJ Watt? Is he homeboy that just signed the huge deal with the Giants from Carolina, Burns? Is he like that twitchy, and is he Latu-esque with all of his moves? No. But is he just a pick up your lunch pail and let me just set a physical edge and be an immovable difference maker? Yeah. Yeah. So there's a bunch of Trey Hendrickson to his game. So, just a stout dude.
All right. So two questions here, Brock. One, a comment. I'm just going to help you with something. And the other is a question. Uh-oh. When I moved to the West Coast, I found out that it's Nevada and Oregon.
I was noticing the Albany pronunciation.
Right. When I moved to the West Coast after years of growing up in the Northeast, right, and I always thought it was Nevada and Oregon, Nevada and it's Oregon.
Okay.
It's Albany.
Albany.
Albany. Like, as if it was the word all, A-L-L. Albany.
Albany. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I got you. I'm just going to help you out with that one. Albany.
Okay, thank you.
It's sort of the same thing. You're taking the Nevada pronunciation and throwing it on Albany.
I appreciate
it.
And
it's definitely Albany, and it's a dump.
Good.
Anyway, it really is. It's not a great place.
Yes.
Right near there is Saratoga Springs. Beautiful, beautiful area. Albany, not so much. Yeah. Brock, when you talk about edge players, we tend to focus almost exclusively on their ability to get to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
How important is his ability to set an edge?
Pretty important, too, man. Pretty important, too. Not a great linebacker class. DJ texting that, tweeting that over the weekend as he's putting his bow on it. Not a great off-ball linebacker, so you better then really be able to set an edge. And you know what, Salk? How about the backside? You know, when that run play cuts back and all of a sudden Daryl Taylor.
I thought you were just talking about his backside, which is what I normally expect from you.
Daryl Taylor's nowhere to be found. He's in outer space and there's a gap 6 feet wide to run through versus, nope, I'm going to collision for every inch and I'm going to be right here, right at home. When you cut back to me, there's going to be nowhere to go. It's building that wall and it takes all four of those guys up front to do it.
Well, it's an intriguing one, man. I got to tell you, of all of the guys we've talked about, he is the one that I'm just going to have my eye on. Like, geez, I really hope he's there and available for them. And I'll be pretty bummed if they don't take him. I get it. Faltano's probably the right pick. If it's Michael Penix, I'm going to jump up and down with excitement just for what's coming and the fact that they're that invested in a quarterback at that spot. But Jared Verse is going to be real high on my list of people to watch on Thursday night. All right, quick break. Everything you need to know, ranked coming up. We'll finish up the show. It's Brock and Salk. Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
It's fun when the Mariners win. Honestly, it is. It just makes the world a little bit better when your baseball team starts putting together and, you know, a few different games in a row. And that's what they've done. They've won 5 of their last 6. They win their second straight series. Obviously, the pitching was the big part of it, but the bats came alive as well. They scored 20 runs in the series, 3 of them right here.
Right-handers, 3-1 pitch to Crawford, swing and a high fly ball deep into right center field. Cave going back to the one he dragged to the wall, and this one is off the top of the fence. Here comes Raley to score. Urias Ronnie third coming in. Here comes Zavala Ronnie third being waved in. He will score. Crawford scampers the third. He goes in standing up with a bases clearing. 3-run triple out in right center field. And it's now the Mariners 5 and the Rockies 2. Listen to the Mariner fans here at Coors Field tonight.
Pretty cool. By the way, that triple was a home run in 29 other parks. But I think he gets the 3 RBIs, and I don't think he minds too terribly bad. And, yeah, that was nice to see. You lose. You can't get anything going in the opener, right? 1 of 9 with runners in scoring position and multiple opportunities. You fall behind 2-0, and then you responded, man. This team just responded. Pitching has been off the charts, and there's something about Cal, man. Cal in certain places. Cal in Toronto, nightmare. Cal in Colorado, I don't think they want to see him again. And nice to see Julio also get 8 hits and 14 at-bats.
Yeah, they needed some of that. The pitching, of course, though, is the thing. And when they get going, you know, that's 10 straight excellent starts for this pitching staff. Luis Castillo right in the thick of it.
Yeah, sometimes it's mind over matter on that stuff. And The Rock was ready. You know, he's gotten off to a little bit of a slower start this spring or this season. But, you know, we saw it coming together at the end of his last start and it carried over to tonight. So just dominant performance.
I don't know how they played on Saturday, honestly, in that weather. That temperature with that weather, I don't know how you grip a baseball well enough to manipulate it. I don't know how you hit with the sting and the I don't know how you do
Rojas,
that.
Rojas got jammed. Rojas got jammed, and I mean, right off of his fingers, little never back to the pitcher, and I can't.
One thing I don't know, and maybe somebody who's played baseball at a high enough level to have used wood bats could tell me, do the wood bats sting any less than the metal bats do in the freezing cold?
Oh, that's a good
I know the metal bats are just, they're awful, right? In that cold, the way they vibrate.
Yes.
Are the wood bats, I would think it's worse. I don't know. It's maybe somebody who's played at that level could tell us. It's something I was wondering about. In any event, nice series for the Mariners. They win 2 out of 3. Head to Texas now for the first of three tomorrow. Logan Gilbert on the mound against Dane Dunning.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
All right, Brock, draft week, and we just kind of keep throwing around a lot of the same names. Jared Verse is certainly one of them. You just profiled him. Troy Faltano is another. Friday. Yes, there is him. We've talked a lot about Byron Murphy as a possibility from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't shake Michael Penix as a possibility there at number 16. I can't. He, obviously questions about his medical history. He was on with Colin Cowherd and said, yeah, teams ask.
For me, I feel like it was just bad luck, you know, and obviously off of all my injuries, you know, I was coming off of, you know, injury each and every year. So it was tough. I didn't get off seasons, you know, since I first got to college until I got to Washington, you know. So I feel like, you know, having those two off seasons at Washington, you know, being able to get strong in the weight room, you know, on the field and stuff like that. It definitely helps, you know, but at the same time, you know, I really don't focus on that. You know, I just hope a team know what they're going to get out of me, and that's a winner and somebody that's going to elevate everybody around me. So at the end of the day, I got all my medical records came in, everything came clear, you know, saw different doctors, you know, that gave me the check mark, said I'm clear to go. So at this point, it's not in my hand.
Yeah, I really don't think it is about, and I've said this 100 different times leading up to the draft, so I don't think it's about the past injuries. I really don't. I think he has those gotten check marks. It's projecting his body type and the beating you take at the NFL level. Can his body type weather the storms? You're not going to get what you got at Washington for 28 starts. Okay, you're not going to get sacked 9 times or whatever ridiculously low number it was. It's just not. You're going to get hit. You know, the league is different. It plays in a phone booth. There's not as much space. You are going to take a beating. And 50-some starters last year in the NFL at that position is a great indicator of that. It is all about signing off on that and checking that box that his body can sustain the kind of abuse that you will take at the NFL level.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Finally, just a little update here on where the Mariners are at health-wise. It was really good to see Brian Wu. As great as the pitching's been, don't forget, Brian Wu was another guy that you're just waiting to roll out.
Like 95-96, by the way.
Right.
3 shutout innings with 5 Ks himself.
Only needed 35 pitches, wasn't really tested. But this is just about kind of getting him used to seeing hitters again. Assuming there's no issues responding to that, he should probably try to go about 60 pitches in his next outing. And then maybe one more rehab after that. So you're looking about another 2 weeks before he's ready to go. And Matt Brash is probably on a similar timeline. So sometime early May, all of a sudden you start adding those two guys to the equation. It's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Kind of like when that happens.
Yeah, you kind of like a Stanek, Muni, Brash. That feels good with the Santos maybe sprinkled in
it
at some point.
It gives you a lot of different options on how you want to handle. And,
yeah.
You know, yesterday, it's a good thing you end up doing what you did in the second game, right? You use Munoz for 2 innings, or you use Stanek for 2 innings, and then Munoz in the early game. You were really going for the jugular.
Yep.
Unfortunately, it backfires, and now both those guys are probably not available in the afternoon game. But you score 9 runs, and it doesn't really end up factoring in. So,
and then, as Tyson said, the rest of that bullpen, from Thornton to Spire to Saucedo to Michael Bolton to all of them.
And Cody Bolton. Yeah. You know what's been good is that Miller.
Miller.
He's been really good.
Golly.
Yeah, I mean, and he's bounced around the league and never been particularly impressive anywhere he's been, but Maybe he's another one of these guys where the Mariners just find what it is that they need him to do.
Major in the majors, man.
Yeah.
They major in the majors with their relievers, and they play to their strength and find that pitch shape or whatever it is to maximize it. And his stuff to righties right now, he is really tough to hit.
All right, good stuff. That is everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour here on the Brock and Salk Show. Almost everybody who's texted in says it hurts much worse with the wooden bat. So there you go.
Hurts worse?
Worse.
With the wooden bat.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think you don't get the rubber, right? For the most part, on a metal bat, you get that rubber that you're gripping.
True.
So that probably helps absorb some
and
of the vibration.
And you have a much bigger sweet spot on the aluminum than you do the wood. Justin, you probably did some of that right up at Shoreline, up the road.
Did you get up to wood bats at any point? Did you ever use wood bats in games?
Yeah, in college.
In college?
Yeah.
Used wood bats in college?
Yeah. The NWAC was a wood bat league.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Cold, sting worse.
Yes, awful.
Yeah,
so horrible, terrible.
All right, there you go. The cold stings worse.
You could
wood.
See why they wanted no part of Luis.
No kidding. Just swing and miss. It just seems a lot easier.
Yes.
Mom, we're not. This team's not going. I can't believe how many people were in the stands on Saturday. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Don't go. That team's terrible. They're barely even trying to win. It's 33 degrees and sleet. Why are you at a baseball game? I love baseball. You'd no way you could have caught me at that game. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. It's Brock and Salk, Yale Sports on 710.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
All right, we'll rank here in 15 minutes. Brock, just a couple days away from Thursday, which is going to be awesome. And I got more draft questions for you as we continue to gear up for it. You guys should
know. Like rapid fire?
No, not full rapid fire, because you stunk so much at that the last time that I don't trust you to do that again.
Faster.
Draft day coverage is going to be great. You're going to be on in the afternoon, huh?
I am. I'm going to be on in the morning. I'm going to be on the afternoon. I'm going to be on midday watching you run. It's going to be one heck of a Thursday. I'm kind of girding my loins. I'm hydrating,
yep.
Getting myself ready, make sure I get enough sleep.
Yep.
Because, yeah, we'll do this show Thursday morning. We'll watch you and Maura run for your lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Thursday about, I think, 4 o'clock or so, we'll head down to the VMAC and do the show with Bump.
There's
and
some
Wyman
things
Bump.
We need. We got to have a, we need tape, like a finish line, don't we? Where do we just using like masking tape or something? Like, what are we gonna, how are we gonna?
Do you think it's gonna be
line?
That close?
No, but I think that the winner's gotta go through a finish line in order to make it official, don't you?
Okay.
We'll find something.
All right.
Yeah.
I just thought Brock would like be at the end with a stopwatch or something.
Oh, okay. No. I mean, I just thought maybe there'd be like an actual finish line.
Well, maybe Fresh and I are there. Maybe we'll get some masking tape from the front desk.
Okay.
And sure.
That's very professional.
Yep. We will have that stretched out across the finish line.
Okay.
And I can. You know, I've worked the Special Olympics a lot.
I did not have tape at the finish of my track events.
No?
In high school. No.
How did you know who won?
You knew where the finish line was.
How do you know who wins?
There was timers and spotters.
Hey, I didn't agree to amateur hour here. I agreed to do this right.
I was going
to
say, we can maybe film the finish line in slow motion, but I don't think we'll need to.
If we're going to decide who won by tape, then I could just reach out with
that's true. You don't want that.
Yeah, I guess this is probably working against me. I didn't think about that. All right. On the other hand, maybe Maura, who maybe you won't have enough weight and girth to break through the tape.
Right.
So maybe you hit it and bounce back in the other direction. And meanwhile, with my excess weight, I will just charge right through it.
Sure.
I love some of the tech. Brock, you have done such a good job over the years of convincing people that I'm a short, fat, like, impossible to, like,
whoa.
I can't, like, it's you know,
jeez.
You should see some of the texts that people see out
what?
There. Yeah.
Right. That's don't put that all on me. That's not nice.
I mean, it's mostly on you.
I mean, the Jeff Passons and the Klatts of the world, those guys all chip in as well.
I mean, but Joel Klatt's never met me.
And I've never called you what Passon called you last week. I would never
talk
do
about
that
taking
to you.
Naps every day and admit that, like, yesterday was your first, like,
I haven't been exercising as much as I used to be, but yes. I mean, I got out there, I jumped up, I ran a 5K yesterday morning, and
yes.
By the way, did better than that other 5K when I was vomiting in the porta potty afterwards. That was
Were
terrible.
You able to jog the whole time, or did you have to walk a little bit?
Probably could have. I was with Cecily, and she needed a couple of walking breaks, so I had to walk with her a little bit.
She did. Definitely not Salk.
Yeah.
I never asked for a walking break. Cecily kept saying, like, Dad, can we walk from him? I'm like, come on, a little farther, a little farther. Yeah. Yeah, but nice. I wasn't, like, angry that she wanted to take a walking break. Like, all right, if we have to walk for a minute, fine, okay.
And then what track did you shoot those videos on?
That was Roosevelt. Got up to Roosevelt. Justin, you can put that into a little teaser with Moore and I talking trash to each other and
I
everything?
I think it's a good idea. Yes, the plan is, as of right now, to build that together.
So I'm sure that will, that'll get up shortly. Yeah, went up to the Roosevelt track with Cecily and... And that's the scene of the crime where Heather blew out her hamstring. So I just thought I would see
if it's cursed.
Yep. So I checked in with Cecily because Cecily's been running against Mom quite a bit in the 200.
Uh-huh.
And I said, how was it running against Dad? She was like, well, running against Mom's a lot more fun. So that's all you need to know, Mom.
Because all she saw were your heels.
All she saw was my dust. That's exactly right. That'll be a little appetizer for the draft, which will get going later that day.
Because we had to do so much walking. It's a lot more fun running with Mom because we were running.
No, I didn't do any running or any walking in the 200. I was able to, please, Maura, do not let him win. I know it may be hard not to pity him when he trips off the line, but we will never hear the end of it if he wins. Well, that's true. You will never hear the end of this one.
You're not going to do what that.
The nice thing for me is I'm only here on Friday, and then I'm on vacation the whole next week.
You're lucky.
So, I mean, I get to get a little trash talk in if I win, but if I don't, I get to get out of here.
Yes. This just in, short, slow, fat man blames friend for being short, slow, and fat. No, for exaggerating my height challenges and everything else. That's okay. I like being doubted. Brock, you said it earlier. I don't mind being doubted a little bit.
No, chip on your shoulder.
Yep.
Boulder on your shoulder.
That stupid salmon from the Mariner Salmon Run could beat Salk even if they gave him a 50-meter head start. How do you know this?
Yeah.
Here's my question. Before we'll finish up with the draft here in a minute. How do you guys know all this?
Right.
You guys are so sure that you know what I'm like athletically. Mm-hmm. You are so positive that you know what I'm going to run like. And that's what I'm so curious about.
I've just been basing my opinion on the fact that you haven't worked out.
Not you. I'm not talking about you, Maura. No, I'm talking about the people on the text machine. I'm talking about the people out there.
It's what you used to say 10, 12, 15 years ago, so be careful.
Yeah.
Okay, be careful, because you don't really know Deshaun Watson.
That's right.
Be careful. You don't really know these guys behind the scenes. You want to think that everybody's a good guy, or you want to think this guy's a bad guy. You don't really know. And you don't really know the kind of heart that Salk has beating in that chest. Mm-hmm. You don't know about the oxygen levels in his lungs. You don't know about the fortitude and the grit and the toughness he's had to overcome. You don't know.
Yeah. 253 says Salk sounds slow. All right. Well, fine. That's fine. If that's what you're judging it on, that and the 360 saying we're basing our comments on the size of your breast. All right. All right. That's enough. We're moving on. That is, how dare you? How dare you bring that up in the middle of this conversation? It is time for us to move on.
Will you wear one of those catapult sports bras?
I will not. No, okay, it seems unlikely. Right. I still don't know what I'm going to wear. I gotta get that figured out here over the next 24 hours or so. All right. Brock, draft. And we got to start like dealing with some scenarios here.
Okay.
Yes. We got to start dealing with some scenarios. What if all six quarterbacks go, as Joel Klatt predicts, before the Seahawks pick at number 16?
And by the way, I don't believe that will be the case.
All right. Well,
I don't think Bo Nix will go. I think Bo Nix could slide out of the first round. And I don't know if you saw that note.
People seem to think Penix is going to slide over Nix.
Bo Nix, the only guy to visit all 32 teams.
Wow.
Yes. So he had conversations, visits, either on campus, off campus, with all 32 teams. Pretty remarkable. So I don't think Bo Nix is going to go before 16, and I'm 50-50 on Penix going. But regardless, let's say five quarterbacks go, three, four receivers go, two, three tackles go, edge rusher goes. Like that you could not ask for a better dream situation for the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. You want five or six quarterbacks to go. You do. Because then you'll have your pick of the litter, and you may have one of the best defensive, or if not the best defensive player in the draft, sitting there for you in that fold. And you know what else you'll have? The biggest key. Whether it's your contract, whether it's your salary, the biggest key.
Mm-hmm.
Leverage.
Mm-hmm.
Leverage to trade. Because there's going to be a receiver, there's going to be a tackle, there's going to be an edge rusher, premium, premium positions. And who knows, maybe Penix that somebody really wants to get to at 16 before somebody else can get, you know. So you, yeah, that's a sweet, sweet spot if all those QBs do indeed go.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking to, you know, listening to that promo throughout the morning with Stacey, and as a Chad Reuter saying essentially like, hey, there's so many great quarterbacks, wide receivers, that it's just pushing more great players down to the Seahawks, which is a good thing.
Yes,
the question is, have they pushed enough down to you where at 16 you can, you know, trade back 3-4 spots and feel pretty good about yourself? Or could you actually trade back 10? I get the idea of trading back a couple spots. I think that makes some sense. It'd be pretty, pretty hard for me
when
to
Joel
imagine.
When Joel says to you, he's
spots.
Got 32 to 35 first rounders.
Yeah.
Does that ease some of your pain a little bit?
Yeah, it does-ish, but I don't know. I mean, here's the challenge with this is you start to fall in love with
you
names.
Do. You do.
Right. It is so stupid.
And sometimes, just like people don't even know you, Saul, can prejudge you.
You fall in love with names.
Sometimes you fall in love with names and you really don't even know them.
It's 100% true, right? I mean, you fall in love with the name Jared Verse. You fall in love with the name Troy Fautano, although obviously people here have watched him a lot more. Mm-hmm. You fall in love with...
Liatu Latu.
Sure. Or you
Byron Murphy.
Right. You fall in love with some of these names and you're like, well, I just want that part. It doesn't mean that they're going to be a better player. Mm-hmm. Why do I want Byron Murphy over Jerzon Newton? Because a lot of the mock draft people have him ahead of him.
Sure.
Does that mean he's going to be a better pro than Newton? I don't know. I don't know that there's any evidence that that's going to be the case.
That's right. And by the way, that Newton got a lot of snap. That Newton's got a lot of production. That Newton, you watched an Illinois game, unlike watching a Texas game, and you went, yeah, you got to block that single-digit guy because he is just an absolute mayhem in the backfield all the time. So, but is he big enough structurally for what you want to do on the interior of your defensive line? All of these things, all of these questions will start to get answered. And the nice thing, Saul, because we're like 72-plus hours away from doing so.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's been a few months, but it is winding right on down, and it will be Bumpus Wyman and me and Bob, I think, down there to VMAX. It's
going to
be quite a crew.
That is quite a crew. Yeah, then we got some more stuff on Friday, and then Saturday I'm going to be on with Stacey in the morning.
For the real draft.
For those of us who are really in the know with the fourth, fifth round, we'll be doing that. And then, Maura, you're on after that as well, right? Aren't you and Curtis
Lefko,
coming on?
Curtis
and Lefko?
I think like 11 to 2. On
nice.
On Saturday,
okay, so wrapping the whole thing up. So nonstop draft coverage here on Seattle Sports, really starting on Thursday and going all the way through Saturday as the Seahawks look to change up their team. Brock, where are you? I asked you about this last week, and I would have, knowing you, you probably kept thinking about it. If you love Penix, I said this to Joel Klatt earlier, if you really think that he's a franchise quarterback and he's available for you at 16, and you don't know if he's going to be available for you when you pick next.
Mm-hmm.
How do you not take him?
Yeah, just because of what I have brought up consistently through this. And I told you about a lunch down there at Joey's in U Village about a month ago or so, watching the NCAA tournament with Damon and Spencer Haas, having a great time. And the guys had just wrapped up their winter conditioning, and there were, I don't know, 8 or 9 different football players, some that had transferred, coming back home, all hanging out. And so I went over because, you know, I knew a few of them, and just wanted to say hello to some of the others. And we just got to chatting, and I kind of brought that up with Penix, you know, and they're like, you think his past medical is going to kill him, huh? I'm like, I really don't.
Yeah.
You know, I think they can do enough MRIs. I think you do have enough of your medical pros. And there are going to be some draft boards that, yeah, maybe they see something in there with arthritis or bone on bone or, you know, maybe something that just scares them. They will see what they want to see. And there will be some that want to be scared and take them off the board. I'm not on that. Like, I'm not, you know, a little chicken little on that one. My concern is just that frame sustaining. So when you say it's 16 – and I got Geno Smith and I got Sam Howell, and they're both really good. And who knows? I mean, Geno coming out, Saul, do you think that is coincidence that he came out and has run the fastest time on that GPS of anybody in that building?
Yes, I do.
You think that's coincidence?
Yes,
I don't.
I do.
I think it's a new staff.
Okay.
I think it's, I've been a comeback player of the year. I've been a really good player, and I want to be a great player and a playoff winning quarterback.
It's a reminder that sometimes older guys can run a lot faster than people think.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Just saying.
I knew you were going to turn that. So my concern, Salk, at 16, because I have pondered it and I have thought about it a lot, if I'm sitting there, is I loved him as a college player, and going 25-3 and elevating Washington football back to a place that had not been forever.
So
I love
just
it.
Don't like him that much.
I just
you don't like him that much as an NFL.
I don't like him as much
prospect.
As Joel Klatt does, because I don't know if that body sustains the physical beating.
Okay.
You take in
I get
the NFL.
It. So you just don't like him that much as an NFL prospect,
it's
which
16.
Is fine.
At 16.
Well.
No, I don't like him at 16.
Do you think he's getting, you don't think he's a like near lock to be a franchise quarterback? You don't think he's a franchise quarterback?
Solely because of the body. And I may be totally
that's
projecting.
That is a totally valid opinion.
But as a lean, long guy that took a beating, it's really hard to stay healthy.
Totally get it. So, and I'm not trying to make you sound like you hate the guy. You love him, obviously.
Love him.
You love him as a college player.
Him.
And maybe he ends up succeeding
and
as a pro.
I would love him in the second round, as I said last week. Love him. In the second round, if he were to fall there, I don't love him at 16.
Yeah, I don't,
because
see,
based
that's
on
where
the
you
other,
lose me.
Well, because Troy Fontano is a better player and a better pro.
But if right? he's go, if you think that as if you don't love him in the first round, I'd let him go in the second too.
Okay, that's just a
like
different
value. Like if you don't think that he's
going
to be a great franchise quarterback, then you got so many other needs in the second round that I think I would like to see.
I'm willing
them
to
do
take that risk in the second round, but I'm not going to pass up a better player, a better prospect in the first round. I'm not going to do that. I got Troy Fontano graded this. I got Michael Penix graded that. Just because he's a quarterback, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that because I think that delta between those two is very, very significant. And I think the risk associated with that body type is
very, very real. With quarterbacks, though, I would probably be in kind of almost like a bifurcated situation. Where it's like, look, either you think he's a franchise quarterback or not.
A what?
It's bifurcated. Like either you put him in one category or the other. Either you think that
don't
he is
say a word like bifurcated.
Why not?
And act like all of us should just know that. Justin, bifurcated?
Yeah, that doesn't mean a no for me.
Mora, rank bifurcation.
Mora,
there.
Bifurcated?
Split in two?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
As usual, Mora and I are the only two people on the same page. Let's do ranked.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwumfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Salk.
Top 10 list. I'm not buying it.
Ranked.
All right, Mariners heading Brock for a showdown in Texas tomorrow against the Rangers. So with that in mind, Texas ranked. No, we don't have Texas is Texas. That was Texas is Texas. A little different. So make sure we say that right off the bat. But we got the new Beyonce song.
This ain't Texas. Mm-hmm. Ain't no holdin'.
You on board with this?
They are cards down, down, down.
It's all right. I listened to the album with Avery. Again, she's just not my favorite. I don't love her music. She's super talented. That song's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's all right.
Saw my Montana for my sister especially, who's... not a fan. And I was like, oh, I wonder if real serious country people were just get out
mad.
Of here. Beyonce. Yeah.
Is that what she felt
seemed,
like?
It seemed to be the vibe I was getting from my folks back.
Well, as you know, I'm a pretty serious country person.
Yeah. So you're clearly doing the same thing.
Did you see what I sent you last night about country music?
Did you text it to me?
I thought I sent it to you guys. Did I not send that to you guys?
Yes, you did.
I did send it to you.
Diabolical or something.
Well, no, it was just line from Bob Newhart. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
He says, I don't like country music, but I don't mean to denigrate those who do. And for the people who do like country music, denigrate means put down.
Yeah. This coming right after Bifurcate.
Yeah.
That's Bob Newhart. That was a good line. Let's see. Here's some more. Here's Little Texas.
Spread the message.
God bless Texas.
I've never heard that song.
You never heard that song?
Nope.
I mean, God Bless Texas by Little Texas. I thought it would be in the top five.
I've never heard of it. Here's Alabama singing about Texas.
So rousing up that old faith.
Let's all dance. If you're going to play in Texas, you got to have feel in the band.
Did you just wind me up today or what?
I know.
It's draft week. It's time to wind me up.
I'm enjoying this.
808 wants to have Big X the Plug. Texas made the list. It did not.
No.
It's like kind of a harder one for us to find.
How about this one, Brock? This one's for you.
Yeah, Texas. And we had good time.
We had good time. Not even close.
And we had some fun.
There we go.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
If you're ready for a good night of fun and partying, go to the Texas Roadhouse. Yeah. They know how to do it right.
There you go. They know how to do it right.
Sandwich in between AC/DC Thunderstruck and Metallica, Enter Sandman is the Rocky IV montage. So when the kids are working out in the weight room, the young men are working out in there.
Mm-hmm.
I may drop a little Drago.
That'd be good.
I do.
I'm sure they could use that.
Yep. Oh. Yeah. And guess what happens now? When they hit a bomb like yesterday, and guess what Tice did? Not Ty. Tice. He yelled Drago when he came to home plate. You better believe he did.
No.
Drago! Yes.
Of course, I don't know how I got to that, but here we go. Back in math class, you had a TI-82 or some sort of
Texas
calculator. There you go. Texas Instruments. Maybe some big Texas
Instruments. Dude, I'm killing this rank today.
So Texas Roadhouse is not top five. That's an honorable mention.
Brock, I'm sure you wouldn't want to say this, but there's the old movie, The Best Little... No? In Texas? All right, we'll leave that one.
Not going to say those
Dolly
words.
Dolly Parton, Burt Reynolds. It's type of house.
That's not
it's like the House of the Rising Sun. Don't worry about it. You probably don't know a lot of Krongbean, but this song is phenomenal. Texas sun.
Krongbean?
Yeah.
What's a Krongbean?
I don't know. Great little band, though. Texas sun.
That is a good little tune.
They're it's really good. I'm gonna try to go down and see them in Oregon.
They played
this
Coachella this last weekend.
Oh, they're great. I'd like to go see them.
Okay.
All right, you ready for the top five?
I know now. One of my favorite songs.
You feel like you're ready for the top five?
Yep.
Yeah, I think you might like a couple of the ones that made it to the top five. That's my guess. Number five.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. After you stop screaming, you'll start talking about it.
Is that the commercial from the original?
Yeah, that's the original trailer.
I mean, Wassel and I always used to talk about the movie Summer School, and there's a guy in that movie whose nickname is Chainsaw because he's so in love with Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, there's a lot of characters who are just named Tex.
Right.
But there weren't any that were actually called Texas.
Right.
So I was looking for some of that.
Yeah.
Inspiration, but didn't get
it. His name was Chainsaw because of that.
Number five.
Brock, that's number five. Number four.
My ex is living Texas. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. And Krongbean is from Houston, Texas.
Oh,
just
are
to
they?
Let you know.
I believe it.
That's the king.
There. Who's that?
Yes.
George Strait.
He's the king of what?
Country.
He is?
One of them. Johnny, George, Garth.
They have three kings?
That's the king.
Sure.
That's a lot of kings.
Yeah, he's the king.
Can you have that many kings?
We three kings.
We three
kings. Stealing,
right.
Yeah. Stealing the gold or something?
He's a
number
king.
Three.
Is that what they're doing, those kings?
Number three.
All right. That is number four. Number three is Walker, Texas Ranger, of course.
Oh.
Yeah. You got to have a little. There he is. You're in Texas, look behind you. Because that's where the Rangers. Chuck Norris, Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah, it may surprise you that I was watching game film. Not a lot of that.
I actually don't know that I've ever seen that show, to be honest with you.
Were you a Chuck Norris fan, though?
No.
No?
Not really.
He loved the Total Body.
Delta Force? Is that what he's in, or is that somebody else?
He's still rocking the Total Body.
Yeah, I bet.
But he can
Delta Force is Chuck Norris. Yeah.
Number two. Deep in the heart. Good day.
This was the number three worst baseball song, according to Aaron Goldsman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Your favorite city in Texas.
I've only been to Austin. It's the only city I've ever to in Texas. So I'm going to go with Austin.
I have been to a lot.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Austin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good food town.
Good town in general.
Good food
town.
All right.
I've landed at, like, you know, airports in Texas. I've driven through Texas parts, but...
Have you been to Amarillo by morning?
I drove through Amarillo, I think.
Amarillo
Didn't stop. Just kept on going.
Big stage drive-thru if you were actually doing the whole thing.
Okay, here we go. Number one.
No sound. Texas toast, man.
Oh.
All of the best stuff from Texas has nothing to do with Texas. It's all just food exports.
Texas.
Just food.
Texas barbecue.
Texas toast, Franklin barbecue, like all of it, bro. Texas brisket.
Yep.
That's all the best part
of Texas. You know who liked his Texas toast? Puna. Puna Ford liked his Texas toast.
Can't blame him. You know what I got to remind me to ask you tomorrow? We used to always say that you don't want to draft guys from Texas because they're kind of entitled.
Right.
Is that a problem still? Like, is Byron Murphy a question mark because of that?
No. They're starting to erase some of that narrative.
Want to check on that. All right, well, I guess I don't have to ask
you.
It's
more entitled and soft. Yeah, I think they've started to erase some of that.
Yeah, we missed a Texas-sized 10-4. Letterkenny.
Oh, Letterkenny.
That's a good one. That's Texas-sized 10-4, buddy. Well, that'll do it for us. Bump and Stacey are coming up next. Whew, tomorrow we will be at just 2 days away from the draft. Pretty crazy. All right. Catch you guys tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Until then, the hay
is in the barn.
See everybody.
Get to the chopper!